Hello, Cheesehead Nation. Welcome to the post-game show here on CheeseheadTV.com. Not a good way to be talking about the game. The Packers lose in overtime on a field goal by Graham Gano as the Packers now go to 3-2 on the season. Final score, Redskins 16, Packers 13. What we're going to do here is recap the scoring, recap some of the statistics, and then we'll open it up to you, Cheesehead Nation, see what you have to say. So, opening up the scoring today, Packers take a 7-0 lead in the first quarter on a touchdown pass from Aaron Rodgers to Donald Lee. That's it for the first quarter. In the second quarter, Packers go up by 10 on a Mason Crosby 52-yard field goal. After that, the Redskins cut the lead from 10-3 on a Graham Gano 26-yard field goal, and that's what it would be like until halftime. In the third quarter, the Packers open up the scoring on another Mason Crosby 36-yard field goal, going up 13-3. And it would be all Redskins from there on out. In the fourth quarter, Redskins pull within 3 points on a Anthony Armstrong 48-yard touchdown pass from Donovan McNabb. Makes it 13-10. Redskins tie it up. In the fourth quarter, Graham Gano, a 45-yard field goal with just 1 minute and 11 seconds remaining, forcing overtime, and of course, the last play of the game, Graham Gano hits another 33-yard field goal, and that does it for the Packers. That does it for the game. So, as far as statistics go, I'll just wrap up some of the Packers statistics today, and then we will open it up and see what Cheesehead Nation has to say. In the passing department, Aaron Rodgers completes 27 out of 46 yards for 345 yards, one touchdown, and one crucial interception in overtime. Finishes with a passer rating of 80.4. In the rushing department, Brandon Jackson comes up with his first 100-yard game of the season. 10 carries, 115 yards, 11.5 yard average. One of the positives to take away from this game. Aaron Rodgers is your second leading rusher, 4 carries for 30 yards. John Kuhn added 3 for 12. Receiving, Brandon Jackson is your leading receiver, 5 catches for 77 yards. James Jones, 4 for 65. Donald Driver, 4 for 58. Andrew Corliss, 4 for 51. Jordy Nelson, 3 for 42. Donald Lee, 2 for 22, including the touchdown. Of course, that would be it for Donald Lee as he leaves the game with a shoulder injury after that. Greg Jennings, only 2 catches for 22 yards. John Kuhn has 2 catches. Tom Crabtree has 1. And with that, we'll open up the phone lines here on CheeseheadTV.com. The number is 646-797-2909. One more time, that's 646-797-2909. If there's anything you want to get off your chest regarding the Packers, now's the time. Phone lines are open, or please feel free to leave your thoughts on the live blog. Please tweet with the hashtags CheeseheadTV, and your comments will get through, as many of you have been doing all day so far today. And thank you, everybody, for joining us during our regular live blog that we had since 11 a.m. this morning. Lots of different ways to look at this game. First of all, the injuries. How can you continue to weather so many injuries? Now, we can go back to before the season even started, and maybe not so much an injury, but the suspension of Johnny Jolly. And then, first game of the year, starting running back Ryan Grant, back-to-back 1,200-yard seasons, out for the year. Starting safety Morgan Burnett, just this past week, after the last game, out for the year. Brandon Chiller, starting linebacker, depending on the package that you're in. Not always a starter, but out for an extended period of time. Just learned today, Nick Barnett, out several weeks, perhaps 8 more weeks, according to Jason Wilde of the ESPNMilwaukee.com. During today's game, Donald Lee leaves with a shoulder injury. Jermichael Finley leaves with a knee injury of his own, reported to be just a sprain. And then Clay Matthews, sometime in the second half of the game, leaves with dehydration issues, maybe heat issues. I'm not exactly sure. I was getting ready for the post-game show. I'm not sure the most up-to-date word on Clay Matthews. Last I saw, he might have been dealing with heat issues, but lots of different ways you can look at this game, and injuries is one of them, but that's certainly not the only way you can look at this game at all. Coaching decisions. In the first half, you have the play by Jordy Nelson that could have been a touchdown. It was not challenged by Mike McCarthy or the Packers coaching staff, as he kind of tiptoed along the sideline, diving for the end zone. Really tough to say whether that would have been a touchdown or not. He was so close to the edge. It could have turned out that it would have been one of those things where there wasn't enough evidence to overturn it. But aside from that, you also have the decision not to kick the field goal with the ball on the 1 yard line, fourth and goal. I said it at the time. I said, you can't pass up points on the road in the NFL. And that loomed awful large at the end of the game when they went to overtime in a tie ball game. And basically the difference between a win and a loss as far as, you know, overtime goes. Now, I mean, there's certainly, you know, had the Packers chosen to go for the field goal there, you can argue they wouldn't have gotten the long return by Tremont Williams then that set up another score. So there is that to deal with as well, and you never know how things would have played out. But, we've got so far, we've got injury situations we can talk about. We have the coaching decisions we can talk about, especially in the first half of the game. And then there's also the defense in the second half was very giving up yards left and right to the Washington Redskins, and Donovan McNabb really hurting the Packers on the pass. And then, of course, you have Aaron Rodgers with the big interception in overtime, not getting it done. Slightly reminiscent of the playoff game at Arizona last year, giving up an interception in overtime. And people are going to point to Aaron Rodgers' inability to win the big game. Not winning games down the stretch last year versus Pittsburgh. versus Arizona in the playoffs. Not winning this game today. Not winning the Bears game 2 weeks ago. So, lots of different ways to look at this game. Aaron Nagler on the live blog says, somewhere Paul Allen is saying, I told you so to everyone within earshot. Of course, Paul Allen, earlier in the week, calling Aaron Rodgers, I don't know the exact words, but basically saying he's overrated and calling him inaccurate, if I believe. And it was a poor interception at the end. Was not a good throw. Was not on target. I mean, up till that point, you go through a whole game of regulation, and Aaron Rodgers didn't give up an interception. So can you really blame it all on him? I mean, there's some degree of blame. How much? I'm not exactly sure. I've seen a tweet here. I think it originated from John Rahor, Green Bay Packer Nation. Been retweeted a couple times. Enough t-shirts, enough Yoto, enough Super Bowl or die. This team needs to start playing the way they're capable of. Jamie Jors on the live blog also comments, my only hope for the offense right now is that if Jermike is out this weekend, then the backups will get reps and get acclimated to the first string, hopefully to take the place of Jermike, who is clearly missing. As we've seen with injury replacements, lots of good and bad from guys like Brian Bulaga and Andrew Corliss. Lots of talent from rookies like them. But if you're going to rely on rookies, you're going to have the headaches that comes along with it as well. Brian Bulaga having two false start penalties, one of them coming in overtime. Andrew Corliss with a very nice catch near the end of the game to put the Packers in field goal range, but also coming up with a holding penalty of his own. Another replacement player like Charlie Peppra, although while not a rookie, getting some of his most playing time in his career, did some very nice things on defense today, did some not so nice things as well. So again, how many storms can you weather if you're the Green Bay Packers? And can they get healthy eventually? Doesn't look like Nick Barnett's injury is season-ending. Supposedly out 8 weeks, according to Jason Wilde of ESPN Wisconsin. Can the Packers afford not to place him on injured reserve? Greg Bedard of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel said, made an observation. JerMichael Finley coming away from halftime with crutches on the sideline and noticing the last time JerMichael Finley was on crutches, he was out last year for 3 weeks with a knee sprain. So I would assume because we haven't heard proof that JerMichael Finley tore an ACL or, I mean, I think you assume knee sprain right now. You take that initial diagnosis and you say he might not be out for the year, he might just be out a couple weeks, kind of like Nick Barnett. It just seemed that Clay Matthews had heat issues. He, too, doesn't seem to be out for the season. Could very well be back by the next time they practice. So, if these guys are all going to get healthy, is there hope that this team is going to get better later in the season? And then you add on top of that the guys on the PUP list, Al Harris, Atari Bigby, James Starks. Hard to tell whether or not they're going to help this team, whether they'll be healthy enough or not. I would assume they would be eventually. Might take longer than just week 7 when they're initially able to come back. So we'll see. Packers RS comments on the live blog. If I can go back to that. Hope to see you all healthy and alive next game. Season isn't over despite the feel. I imagine a lot of people are going to be getting off the Green Bay Packers bandwagon this week after this loss. I think the expectations were more than 3-2. And it's, again, a feeling, I think, a lot like last week, where you have to just keep telling yourself, telling the doubters, that the Packers are 3-2. And that doesn't have anything to do with expectations or anything like that. It's just that people expected so much more that people, the Packers, aren't living up to it. Patrick J. Dupre says, I would give back 2 wins for a healthy roster for the entire season. 1 division starting 1-4 before. Jersey Pack fan says the defining game for this team will take place on October 24th. That, of course, is in 2 weeks against the Minnesota Vikings. And I am waiting very carefully here, very patiently, for word from Mike McCarthy's press conference. I think we should be getting word very shortly on the severity of some of these injuries. So as soon as I see him pop up here, I'll pass him along. I'm sure you'll see him just as quickly as I do, if not quicker. I'm trying to monitor 3 different computers here. Forgive me if I seem to have lost my place for a second. Jersey Al comments, if your defense holds a team to 13 points in regulation, this high-powered offense should win the game with or without JerMichael Finley. And yes, you very well can blame this offense as well. Everybody seems to be have a stake in this. Only 13 points from the offense. It was supposed to be such a prolific offense, one that could just score at will. And yet, only 13 points today. Not much production at all. The running game, surprisingly, did very well particularly in the first half. A lot of it had to do with Brandon Jackson's 71-yard run, I think it was. And that skews things, perhaps. But I thought it was surprising to see that, and then the running game not get a whole lot of attention the rest of the game. I mean, Brandon Jackson had a 11.5 yard per carry average. And again, skewed because of the long run. But still, when he got the ball, he did the job, even taking away that 71-yard run. He still had 40-some yards on the other 9 carries, which isn't fantastic, but it's what you'd expect, I'd say. A 4.0 yard, little more, per carry average, if you take away that 71-yarder. So it was interesting to see them not go to Brandon Jackson late in the game. Brandon Jackson might very well get one of the blue chips from me when I sit down to write my post-game report, also leading the team in receiving this game, both in catches and yardage. So doing his job today. Want to point this out. Greg Jennings had 2 catches for 22 yards. I think, if I'm correct, Greg Jennings has 12 catches on the season. Can the Packers afford to have that kind of production from here on out from Greg Jennings? Only 12 catches from one of your top receivers, one they're paying a lot of money to. Aaron Rodgers spoke about spreading out the offense, getting your best players on the field, but apparently made no mention of getting the ball to your best playmakers, which is tough. I want somebody to call me and tell me what they think here. I know a lot of people are maybe biting their lips, don't want to say something they regret. But what's on your mind? Phone number's on the screen, 646-797-2909. Thank you, everyone, for joining me. I'm glad you're listening to me, but I do want to hear from somebody else as well. What's your thoughts out there as the Packers lose a tough one? It's always tough to win on the road. We know there's parity in the NFL. We've heard that a ton. I'm trying to take a look at some of the comments on the live blog here. CD Angeli of Tundra Vision. I'm still driving the bandwagon, but I'm a bitchy driver today. I think that's the category that most Packer fans would fall in. I think your true fans, those who are not, you know, your just get on the bandwagon when you're hot types, you know, they'll be through the team, with the team, through thick and thin. But they're grouchy today, after the loss. It might be true that everybody is a little bit fed up with the Super Bowl talk from the players. The Yoto, the Super Bowl or die, the 10-gallon hats, all that kind of stuff, the Dallas or bust Carr in the offseason as a reward for the home run derby back during mini camp. But I think that even though the players were talking about it, and the fans don't want the players to talk about it, the fans felt it as well. They too thought this could be a Super Bowl team, knew it could be, but they're not getting it done. Packers Lounge comments, Alex Talich of Packers Lounge on CheeseheadTV.com/lounge says, Bishop played better than Barnett, Jackson played better than Grant, Bulaga better than Tausch, no excuses. Desmond Bishop did have a heck of a game today. I can't find many faults with the job Desmond Bishop had today. Jersey L says, interesting is not the word I would use, Brian. Yeah, I'm aware. I probably, that word just comes to mind automatically for me. The one I'll throw around. It is interesting, but maybe not in the way everybody likes to think of it that way. Bo Gosmer comments, I miss the takeaways we had last season. Turnovers have been an issue for the Packers. They've been turning the ball over at a rate higher than last year, but they also haven't been able to get the turnovers they were getting last year. What happened to all the interceptions from Charles Woodson and Nick Collins? I think the Packers had a turnover this season, this game. It might have only have been one. That was the interception during the very last play of the game. Tremont Williams coming up with that interception on the Hail Mary by Donovan McNabb. So that's not going to cut it. It counts in the statistics, but it might as well not count. That had no bearing on the outcome whatsoever. Well, the Packers had two turnovers. One on the Donald Lee fumble. I think it was the very first possession of the game. And then the Aaron Rodgers interception in overtime. So basically, I know Tremont Williams' interception counts, but for all intents and purposes, to me it doesn't. So that's two giveaways compared to zero takeaways, if you ask me. Third down production. Listen to these statistics. Packers converted only 2 of 13 third downs today, and 0 of 1 fourth downs. Of course, that one fourth down being when they went for it on fourth and goal at the 1 yard line early in the game, and threw the ball incomplete. Very poor production on third and fourth downs. Only 2 of 13. I mean, that's about, between third and fourth downs, that's about 15%. Just over. Less than 20%. So having a very, very tough job converting. Which is, again, in stark contrast from last year, when Aaron Rodgers was converting third downs at an unheard of level, just left and right, too good to be true, as Football Outsiders said, it would come back down to earth, and it did. It came crashing down. So that's one statistic you can point at after this game as also being part of the problem. Lots of drop balls today. Donald Driver being guilty. James Jones being guilty. I think there were couple other drops as well. And that didn't help. Cup Hound comments, the players need to give themselves a come-to-Jesus talk like last year. Too bad there isn't one guy in charge to do that. That come-to-Jesus talk happened at the halfway point of the season. I'm going to take this call here. Hello, you're on the Cheesehead TV postgame show. Who do we have joining us?
Hey, Brian, it's Jamie.
Hi, Jamie. How are you doing today?
I could be a lot better.
I guess so. That's just my default question, I guess. But I should assume people are not doing well. Anyway, what's on your mind?
Well, I was just thinking everything you were saying just now about the third downs, and I feel like while we have a lot of injuries this year, and that's really holding us back, the key is the differences from our team this year from last year, the turnovers, the inability to convert third downs, I feel like those are really affecting the team. We have had people like Pepra and Bishop who can step up, but our inability to make a big turnover at the end of the game, which would have stopped Washington from driving today, or convert better on third down. Aaron Rodgers used to be the best quarterback on third down, and we can't convert any of them. And those are big things that have changed from last year to this year.
Yeah, they just really need to change. They just aren't getting it done on the field. I mean, you can point to injuries all you want, but the fact is they're turning the ball over more than they did last year. They're not getting turnovers like they did last year, and they're not converting third downs like they did last year, and that has nothing to do with injuries. So I see the point that you're saying, that's for sure.
Yeah, I was thinking about it, and I mean, I've been one of the people who've been very worried about the injuries. I can't, like, my brain can't even fathom how our defense is still running, but just thinking about, I mean, during any game last season, I wouldn't have really been nervous towards the end of this game because I knew that Nick Collins would have made that interception.
Yes.
You knew that was always a chance, and I don't get that same feeling this year.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Nick Collins coming very close at the end to getting an interception, and there were a couple penalties there for defensive pass interference by Charles Woodson that you're not accustomed to seeing the defensive player of the year, the reigning defensive player of the year, make. But thank you, Jamie, for calling in and sharing your thoughts with me. So, and thank you very kindly for moderating our discussion as well. So,
yeah, sorry. I also just lost you for a little bit in that conversation. It was very quiet. But I just wanted to call in real quick and say those couple of points, and thanks for doing the post-game chat, because otherwise I'd be sitting here talking to my Redskins boyfriend right now, who's a lot happier than I am. So,
thank you.
Give me a way to vent right now.
Thank you very much, Jamie. Take care.
Thanks, you too, Brian. Bye.
Yes. Penalties hurting the Packers at the end of the game a little bit. You've got the pass interference call on Charles Woodson, the pass interference call on Brady Papinga, and a couple pass interference calls on Charles Woodson today. Not just pass interference, I think he had illegal hands to the face as well. And I have to say that I think Charles Woodson probably leads the team in penalties this year. And, like I said, not accustomed to that from the reigning NFL Defensive Player of the Year, I wouldn't say Charles Woodson is the reason the Packers are losing games, but those are not helping. I'm not liking the way the Packers are reacting toward officials on these penalties or questionable calls either. I thought absolutely that last pass interference call on Charles Woodson was indeed pass interference. He seemed to get there early with that back hand on the receiver. And then on Aaron Rodgers' interception, he was jawing at the official for something. I don't know what he was complaining about, but the play wasn't even over, and here he is complaining to the official, and he's got to go and try to tackle the return man. I mean, and then he ended up being down earlier, but that wasn't, you didn't know that at the time. So I guess that, to me at least, seems to be something that is just wrong with the attitude of this team. And I can't quite put my finger on it. Maybe it has to do with the whole privileged, we should be in the Super Bowl type of mentality, that they think they should be getting the penalty calls. Something like that. Bammer76 says, they seem to be throwing at Woodson more this year than last year. Maybe slightly. Found in Idaho says, he's going to get more attention. He should know that he will be watched. I'm going to try to find the penalty statistics here for the Packers. Packers had 9 penalties for 63 yards, which more than doubled that of Washington, who had 4 for 52. Well, I suppose the 9 penalties for the Packers cut in half the performance against the Bears. I suppose you can see that as a positive. But still, 9 penalties for 63 yards. The 9 penalties were more than double the Redskins' 4. So that had a difference, made a difference in the ball game. One of many things that made a difference. As we're finding, there's lots of, we can poke a lot of holes in the Packers' plan here, in the Packers' game. Is it just me? I've been waiting here for tweets from the Packers press conference from the beat writers, and they're not showing up on the live blog. It's tough for me to keep my looking for so many things at once, controlling the show here, keeping it on air, and reading all at the same time, and I'm doing my best, but having a tough go of it. And maybe it's just that, and people are telling me no news from the presser yet. This seems to be a late presser. Maybe the Packers are having quite a long team meeting. And maybe that's a good thing. I think what I'm going to do here is just take a quick break. I'm going to throw the commercial up for a second, and we're going to come back. Welcome back to the Cheesehead TV post-game show right here on CheeseheadTV.com. Ask and you shall receive, I suppose, the Green Bay Packers post-game injury news is starting to roll in as we ask for it. I'm going to get to some of the tweets here that I'm reading in no particular order. Greg Bedard reports, Finley's injury is actually a hamstring ligament that popped out of place. Not as bad as Cleveland. Of course, Cleveland in 2009 was the game that JerMichael Finley had a knee sprain and kept him out of three subsequent games. The remainder of the game he was playing, and then three more, didn't play at all. So that's good news. It's not as bad as last year, and we all know how JerMichael Finley performed last year once he got back from injury. That's like when he started his emergence the second half of last season. I see Doug Russell of Sports Radio 1250 in Milwaukee saying Aaron Rodgers suffered a concussion during the game today, according to the Packers. That's interesting. I couldn't pinpoint the play that happened on. Of course, he did take a couple shots near the end of the game and in overtime. Boy, they did such a good job of protecting Aaron Rodgers in the first half of the game, and probably even through the third quarter, you could say. And then it was at that point where all of a sudden the floodgates seemed to open and he started taking some hits and a couple sacks. Greg Bedard, I see, also says, Matthews doesn't think his injury is as bad as family night, but it's definitely not a cramp. It's tight and possibly slight pull. So, good and bad there. Bad in that it's worse than a cramp, than was kind of the first thought that people guessed. I suppose when he continued to stay out of the game, I guess you should have maybe put two and two together and think, boy, maybe this is worse than just a cramp that people seem usually to be able to get through and come back into a game, especially if you get fluids intravenously, as I believe Clay's Matthews supposedly did. Lee sounded like a really bad stinger. Greg Bedard continues on to say, sure sounded like Finley and Matthews would be out at least a week to err on the side of caution. So there you go. Next week, I believe the Packers play the Miami Dolphins, and they could be gone for that game. Hello, you are on the Cheesehead TV postgame show. Who do we have joining us?
I love the Cheesehead TV postgame show. Brian Caribou, perhaps my favorite host of all Packers hosts.
Thank you very much, Alex Talich of Packers Lounge. Aaron or Alex, are you going to tell me the season's over, or what am I going to get out of you?
Well, I don't know, because I'm getting crucified by everybody, including the guy whose website I work for right now. So I don't know what I should say. We're going to win every game, dude. I mean, there's no way we can't. Seriously, you can jump ship or not, but when you're dealing with kind of injuries, you're going to lose games. But injuries are not. This team is average with the injuries that are. Definitely average. I'm not going to jump ship. I'm going to root for the Packers every week. forget Bill. Adjustments are not being made, and this team is just not that good. Yes, that may be because of some injuries, but this is not a contender right now. And if you don't like it, I don't really care.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. You were very forceful at the end of the game in proving that point that it's not just injuries, it's execution as well. And I do see that, the evidence pointing to the third down conversions and the amount of turnovers and the lack of turnovers generated. So I can see that side of the argument, that's for sure.
How many years in a row have we not been able to convert a 1 yard at the goal line? Is this three? Is this four now? I mean, come on. I get that Finley's hurt, and that probably hurt us. But listen, Brandon Jackson had a better game than Ryan Grant had all year and had a game comparable to a Ryan Grant game. Desmond Bishop played better than Barnett. Blaga might play better than Tauscher, I mean, arguably. I mean, so we had a couple injuries on the offense, but Finley is not the only reason this team lives. And to me, on offense, that is the only reason. I mean, that's not the reason that we lost the game. This offense looked terrible. They looked out of sync. And it's not because we're hurt all over the offensive guys. Everybody played fine. We just didn't execute on the sidelines and in the huddle.
So where do the Packers go from here? Is this something that is going to continue to linger on? Are they going to get healthy? Is the execution going to get better? Is that going to coincide in a perfect storm? They both get healthy and the execution gets better all at the same time toward the end of the season? How's that going to work out?
The only thing that I look towards for the future is judging by the past. And has this stuff ever been worked out in the past? Yeah, yes, last year we had a slow start and strong, but the same things are happening over and over. Injuries you can't do anything about, but if the Packers can't exit, that's going to win healthy for the entire second string. I think it's going to continue unless McCarthy can adjust and Dom Capers can quit rushing three guys on third down!
So, we talk a lot about that rushing three guys because it doesn't seem to be effective. I mean, do you think they need to blitz more? Is that it? Or should they just, frequently I see them dropping a linebacker into coverage. Should they just be rushing those four guys who are on the line of scrimmage? Or who should be doing the rushing for the Packers? Who's good at getting to the quarterback?
More than three. At getting at the quarterback.
It doesn't matter who, just more than three.
Guys. It's telling me, on paper, rushes three guys all the freaking time in third and long, and it's just ridiculous. Put some pressure on the guy and let your corners play ball. I mean, damn. Somebody, anybody, someone, more than three guys. How about that? Is that a good answer?
Very good. Thank you for joining me, Alex, and take care. Don't let this ruin your weekend.
See you. As always, next week. Go Daggers. We're going to win them all.
Sounds good. Dale Zawada saying, I want to call him, but I know I'd swear. Yeah, we don't want to get shut down by the FCC, Dale. So we don't want swearing. Couple more reports coming in here. Rodgers did not do his customary post-game press conference because of the concussion. I just see a comment here from Bammer76. Kareem reported a very quiet locker room. Maybe they can turn this around next week. So I guess I just think that I am reminded, somebody said, of the Come to Jesus meeting. And I know that happened after week 8 last year. Week 8. And all of a sudden, the team goes on a second half tear and makes the playoffs and maybe they could have done better in the playoffs last year. But they go, if I'm correct, the Packers go 7-1 down the stretch last season, after week 8, mind you, and everything's great. Now, I think that if the Packers can turn things around, they're going to be in very good shape. The Packers were 4-4 last season before going 7-1 down the stretch for an 11-5 overall record. Once again, I think that people expected more than 11-5 record, and it very well could be that way. But John Ray Horrigan commenting, you can't have a come to Jesus meeting every week, though. Haven't looked right all season. And very good point. I mean, you think those moments would only come once a season, and hopefully that does it. I suppose what people have to be looking for right now is that this team gets healthy from the players who were injured today, your key players like JerMichael Finley and A.J. Hawk, but not only that, you have Al Harris and Atari Bigby coming back from off the PUP list, and maybe James Starks, and maybe Nick Barnett, you get him by the end of the season, and as I alluded to earlier, maybe it all comes in a perfect storm in which the Packers get healthy and get better all at the same time. And it might take a couple weeks. As we saw, JerMichael Finley and Clay Matthews might be out next week just to err on the side of caution. So they might not even be out on the field next weekend against the Dolphins. And there's no guarantee that Atari Bigby and Al Harris are going to be ready week 7, the first week they're eligible to come off the PUP list. There is a 3-week window in which the team can evaluate them during practice and then decide whether or not they're ready to come back. So it might take some time. It might be 3-4 weeks from now. It might be about that halfway point in the season as it was last year when they have that come to Jesus meeting, that all of a sudden things kind of come together and they really start making that push. This is a long season, 16 games. There's still 11 games to go. We are not even a 1/3 of the way through the season yet. That's a scary thought. Not even 1/3 of the way through the regular season. Bammer76 commented, sounds like next week is going to be Zombo time. With Clay Matthews out next week, Frank Zombo may play a large role. Bogmon comments, it seems weak to blame the Zebras today, but I'm going to do it anyway. What did you think, Bogmon? What calls were bad that we're going to blame the Zebras? It didn't seem to me to be that way. But that's just me. I'd be interested in knowing what calls could have went the other way. I'm assuming some of those would be the pass interference calls. I see a couple comments about it being a long season. Kevin Cousineau saying if the wide receivers caught the balls that were thrown at them, then there's no reason to have a come-to-Jesus meeting. Lots of drop balls today. We touched on that earlier. Going back to the long seasons comments, John Rahor says, remember, 3-2 is better than 2-3, 1-4, or 0-5. Certainly, the Packers have a winning record. And that's better than a lot of teams in the NFL right now. Big Fog says, was nice to see Capers dial up the heat in overtime just as McNabb was getting rolling. Last year would not have been the case. And I'll take one more call here. Hello, you're on the Cheesehead TV postgame show. Who do we have joining us?
Hey, it's Dale Zawada, buddy. What's going on?
Hi, Dale. How are you? My default comment, how are you? I'll assume you're not doing well, but what's on your mind?
I'm not going to swear, first of all, because somebody was talking about the penalty. That was part of it. And maybe the helmet-to-helmet that kind of caused Aaron Rodgers' concussion, that might have been nice to call. That's just wrong.
I see what you're saying there. Perhaps
maybe
a no-call that should have been called.
Yeah, and I think... we had him against the goal line, and Clay Matthews was held in the end zone. I believe that's a safety. Is that the rule of safety should have been called?
Yes.
Sure.
You are absolutely right. That one slipped my mind. That absolutely should have been a safety. That was egregious, and I can't believe they didn't see that. Coming against one of the best defensive players in the NFL, and Clay Matthews, you'd think the referees would have their eyes right on top of him. You're right. I can't believe that.
Yeah, you think so. But the penalties, you know, they were just part of it. The Packers did not play well. I'm not going to say the Packers played great because they did not. But, I mean, the refs and the injuries, people, I want to be the injury guy. When Jermichael Finley's going, I mean, when Tom Crabtree is the tight end, I didn't even know who that was. I had to Google who that was. We're hurting. That hurts the team.
Yes, Tom Crabtree isn't going to help you in the passing game, and this is a passing offense. You know, I suppose he does help the team in the run game, and perhaps when the Packers are salting away the game like they did at the last week against the Lions when John Kuhn had those couple runs to ice the game at the end, then your Tom Crabtree is valuable. But yeah, I think he had one catch today and is not going to be a threat to go deep on anyone. And just catching the ball in general is going to be a tough deal for him, I suppose. Anything else to add here, Dale? Yeah, Dale, we're getting garbled here, and I don't think I can understand you, and I'm gonna have to cut you off, and it's nothing to do with you, but thank you, though, and for joining us. Sorry about that. I'm not sure what's happening with our phone line here. Our Skype line seemed to be getting a little bit of garbled, we'll say. But, yes, of course, Donald Lee goes down with the injury, too. So now you're down two tight ends, and you have Andrew Corliss, the rookie, who, again, is just a rookie, could be good, but had the holding call late in the game that hurt as well. and Tom Crabtree just not going to be a big part of your passing game whatsoever, other than if he happens to pass block. Just wow. Just so many things. It's going to be a busy week in Green Bay Packer Nation. There's so many things we've brought up today. You know, we've talked about the issues of injuries, which are numerous and plenty. And you've got people coming back from injury shortly, like the people on the PUP list. But there were so many things in the game going wrong from a Packers standpoint. The failure to convert third downs. The too many turnovers and not getting enough turnovers. The dropped passes. Letting Donovan McNabb have his way with you at the end of the game. Although they shut him down pretty well in the first half of the game, the defense becoming far less stingy toward the end of the game. So many reasons. 9 penalties today. And the penalties that weren't called. Just so many things led to this loss today. Coaching decisions. Not to challenge the Jordy Nelson reception and then choosing not to kick the field goal. Oh, what else did we talk about? There were so many reasons why the Packers lost today. A missed field goal by Mason Crosby to win the game at the end of regulation, or near the end, not the last play, when the ball went off the upright. So many things not going the Packers' way today, and not going the Packers' way the whole season. And it'll just be interesting to see how things continue to play out this week. How are the Packers going to deal with all these injury issues this week? Just getting through the next game? It's going to be a lot harder to win at home if you're the Green Bay Packers. Just because you conceivably are going to be very shorthanded next week. If these injuries aren't season-ending, you got to keep those players on your roster, and you're not able to pick up anybody off the street. But wow. And I just see the retweet here from Greg Bedard. Pickett's injuries were negative on the ankle, but it's pretty bad. He doesn't know what's wrong. That as well. Ryan Pickett. It could be just something like he has a severe sprained ankle. And while it may not be season ending, it's going to keep him out a month or more. So, there's a... maybe you don't want to say look forward to this week, but a lot to watch for as this next week progresses. And time goes on. We're going to wrap it up here on Cheesehead TV. Thanks everybody for joining us. Sorry it wasn't a more pleasant game. Thank you very much for Jamie Jors for moderating our live blog today. Jamie's been moderating all day long from before kickoff till now. I'm sure she's tired, and I appreciate all the hard work you're putting in, Jamie. I know it can get... I've been there before, approving comments for hours upon end, and it gets old eventually. So thank you, Jamie. Appreciate it. And thanks to everybody else at Cheesehead TV, our family here. Alex Talich for checking in with us, and our founders, Aaron and Corey, on the live blog throughout the day. And that's it, folks. Take care. I'll be back on the air Tuesday morning at 8 o'clock a.m. as I host the Railbird Central morning show. And like I said, just Don't let this ruin your weekend, folks. It's beautiful outside if you're living in Wisconsin. Go enjoy what's left of your weekend. I'm going to try to get outside the house a little bit later and rake some leaves or something. Take my frustrations out on the leaves. But again, thanks everyone for joining us. We'll see you Tuesday morning.